Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show. It is May 17th. We've got Sean, we've got Cardoza, we've got all of you in the chat today. We've got an Aaliyah shirt. I'm surprised it's not a Garfield shirt, considering the Garfield movie is out now, but we appreciate you for joining us on your Friday night. Get in your super chats and your humper chats at humperchats.com. Leave a thumbs up on this video, and of course, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Now, I don't want to steal Sean's thunder, but he has a pretty big scoop, and it's about a top women's star on SmackDown tonight. So let's dive right in. Huge reveal from what you were able to gather about the status of something, or the status of not something, really. So
Bianca Belair is not pregnant. Montez Ford is not pregnant. Angelo Dawkins, not pregnant. None of them are pregnant. by the way, guys, get in your super chats, humper chats, as she said. Yeah, the one funny thing I did see was somebody showed a video of Tiffany kicking Bianca in the ribs, and they said, oh my God, she's kicking the baby. go figure. But I want to send you guys to a clip from an interview I did around 3 months ago with Bianca and Montez.
What wrestling rumor that you guys have heard about yourself?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question.
You know, I don't know, because I really stay off of Twitter. Me too, I really stay off of it.
Yeah. Try to.
I think the craziest thing, it's not really crazy. When I had my time off, everybody was like, oh, she's pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay. Yeah.
Stop doing this to people. Stop speculating. I had people all day that were like, is she? And I'm like, what makes you think that I would be the person to break that news. It's not my thing to tell. You could argue that nothing is my thing to tell, but that certainly is not mine to tell for sure. But man, we had the SmackDown plans back tonight on FightfulSelect.com. We're going to have the producers tomorrow, including somebody producing WWE Speed. Interesting producer for both post-show dark matches that are world title matches. That's coming to Fightful Select this week. We've also got Chris Jericho news. Going up tonight, later tonight, Reginald Scripps, now Sydney Akeem, his first words, he's not even out of WWE contract yet. He's still under WWE contract for a couple weeks. We've got an interview with him. It's up on Tier 2, but we're going to have the early notes. There's a lot, man. Like, you don't realize how much was crammed into there. Like, he might be one of the only people to debut on the main roster within like a year of getting signed when he didn't have any prior training. Like, he had a tryout in April 2019 and was on the main roster in 2020. Like, he didn't have any prior work there. So check that out, guys. I had
heard from people in WWE even that said that Vince was just like very high on him and loved him. So yeah, he had a very interesting trajectory there, but I was smirking at the people in the chat that were noticing my Kate Sabo name. If you know, you know. But Will asking a question about Megan Bain, asking if she's still with AEW or do you know what's up?
She is still with AEW. I do know a little bit of what's up. I think I should have something early in the week on FightfulSelect.com. We'll have more on that as well. But this weekend on FightfulSelect.com, we have just so much stuff. We've got Myron Reed. We got Wendi Richter news. We got reactions to the NXT releases that happened recently. Some Double or Nothing news. SmackDown producers. Jericho news. Like a little bit of everything over there, as always. Plus, we have that Discord as well. I also wanted to talk about the Tiffany Stratton stuff because there were a lot of people that were talking about that. So she shared what could be said was an insensitive video. It was a video of her landing a strike and some edited audio on it. Now, I can't tell you what her reasoning was for that. I can tell you that the people that I spoke to in WWE, their theory, and I just want to say their theory, was that she probably shared it without hearing the video on it and just seeing it and being like, I remember what happened there. I was a part of it. And then, of course, deleted it. I haven't heard of any extended heat or anything or any issues backstage or anything like that. I'll work to find out what else I can there. But I didn't hear of any like major issues there, although, you know, it caused quite the stir online, and understandably so. She deleted it pretty quickly because by the time I had seen it, it didn't exist anymore there. So don't know how that's going to necessarily, play. I thought that Tiffany was going to win Queen of the Ring, so I was kind of surprised by the result tonight. But they had a slapper of a match, and listen, she needed to have a slapper of a match tonight. She really did, and that's what went down. But yeah, man, wow. I didn't expect that one to unfold the way that it unfolded this week, because I think that everybody's going to be a little bit more careful in that regard now when they do that, assuming it was an accident. And that's me assuming, that's me giving someone the benefit of the doubt there. But yeah, yes, also,
I can say too, as like, I follow her on Instagram, and she is someone who generally, like, if you ever go to her story, it's just those little dots because she just adds everybody's thing. So yeah, it seems possible that that was the case. Of course, we don't know what the actual intentions were, but she does generally just seem like she kind of mass uploads pretty often, like a bunch of reaction clips. But some news that we were talking about right before we went on air, asking, just read that Athena was hurt at the ROH tapings last night. No word on how serious it is. Hope it isn't. Welcome back, Alex. And hey, Kate and SRS.
Yeah, we're working on it. I'll see. I found out right before we went on the air, like Kate told me. So I'm still going to dig around about that.
And you haven't confirmed it yet?
No, not at all. But I can confirm that Ivar was attacked in an angle. That happened.
You sure can. You saw that. Also can confirm tonight was not a double taping. But
I did reach out to him and say, you must be very relieved that that attack was a work. But the Cody Logan Paul thing that had made its way around, like people in AEW, TNA, all that stuff, they had heard that that wouldn't be a double title match as of today. So that news was coming. Like, I don't know if it was intended to be that way or if they kind of worked themselves into a shoot and then they're like, ah, to me, it kind of makes it a foregone conclusion in that regard. But also it's like, if you're going to book that match, you know, Cody's going to win it anyway. So, I'm here for the spectacle. I like what they're doing with Cody in that regard. Cause man, I can't tell you how many foregone conclusion world title matches I've seen after WrestleMania. And this beats, you know, after Benoit won, Kane is put in there and everybody knew Kane wasn't winning. And then Becky wins and all of a sudden, well, here's Lacey Evans or Baron Corbin. No. And that's me. I'm the biggest Baron Corbin fan in the world right now. His moveset rules. But back then, you knew what was coming. At least with this one, they're like, you know what? AJ Styles, a match that never happened, and they put on a slapper. And then they're like, Logan Paul, this is purely for slapper purposes. No other reason. King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring is going to be the draw there. I just like them not running the same match 3 months in a row. Like, that's what I'm here for. And to me, there's nobody on the roster that should be exempt to lose to or from losing to the world champion because he's the guy. If you're going to lose to somebody, it might as well be him. So Will says, for a pregnant woman, Bianca had a great match. Oh, man.
We debunked that at the beginning of this broadcast. You got to start from the beginning because Sean had the scoop that she is not pregnant.
I wonder how many women's wrestlers there are that we know performed while pregnant without knowing.
I think about that a lot. Yeah. It's pretty
crazy.
There's
several. Anyway, guys, I want to thank you all for letting me come by. Send in your super chats, send in your humper chats, guys. FightfulSelect.com. I dropped my Q&A show today. If you aren't over there, you're going to want to be over there next week for Double or Nothing because I got some stuff.
There's stuff on the way.
Got a lot of stuff on the way.
I had a question in the Fightful Select Discord that did not get answered, which was who killed WCW, but
Vince Russo. He's a goofy little bitch. So it's him.
Delightful answer. That was for free. Okay. That was just answer for free out here, but subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Get in that Discord, have conversations with well-intending wrestling fans. Ask Sean questions. Lots of more wrestling coming up. We got Money in the Bank. We've got Double or Nothing. So much happening there and more. But we're going to get into some SmackDown news. We've got more Super Chats and Humper Chats that have come in from you. I legitimately did tell Sean about the Athena news right before we went on air. So I'm sure he'll be working to find out the status of that. But we're going to talk some SmackDown and go through some more of your lovely supportive chats. Like Van Twin Blade saying, what is up, Bangs? Bangs gang still want Paul gone. I will say I feel like the creative has gotten a lot better with him, and his in-ring was never the issue. I like that he's a heel who justifies things logically, but yeah, there's like some... I would prefer he not be on my screen, but if he's going to be on my screen, at least he's doing stuff that is better creative than what he was doing before. I don't need Kevin Owens' fat jokes. I need heels that are speaking the truth about some stuff. And we got some of that tonight and we're going to get into it later. But this from Kim saying Jade's daughter could take Nia. I don't doubt that. I'm sure she's being raised to be quite the badass as her mother is. But some more love coming in from you guys. We get this chat saying, I just want to say main event Jey Uso will be your new King of the Ring. I don't think so. And you know what they call that from where he is? Chief. I don't think that's the direction we're heading. We're going to get into that. But I think you've got Randy Orton and Gunther probably as your King of the Ring finals, but Cardoza.
Yeah.
Barely have even said hi to you as we've launched into the first 12 minutes of the show.
You guys
show.
Are talking and giving news. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to ingest it. I'm going to let you guys cook. And perhaps maybe I'll have a side of SmackDown dessert after all that cooking that you you and Sean were doing on top of the show.
That we were cooking up. But today was kind of a roller coaster of good and bad for me on SmackDown. I feel like there were a lot of things that I liked. I did not want a title for title match. I don't necessarily like how we got there. I did not want Jade and Bianca to fight this early into their tag team reign. I thought that disqualification was one of the weakest looking stupid things that they could have done. Mm-hmm. So it's weird. I'm being given what I want, but the routes to get there haven't been my favorite. On the other hand, fun tag team match on the show. Great opening match. What were your thoughts kind of overall? Because I was doing a lot of this week.
Not my favorite SmackDown episode thus far. I wasn't connecting with it. And I've said this in the past that there's a couple episodes here and there that I just don't feel like there's more questions than answers that I got today, especially with how people are being used. And sometimes when I'm watching SmackDown, this is nothing against them. This is possibly be me just, you know, outgrowing things, but sometimes I feel like the show in general just feels like I've outgrown it for some reason. Like there's certain things that just weren't clicking for me. It was just, I don't know what it is. Today was one of those days, and I was really trying to like get into some of the matches, and I was just like, what's happening right now?
I think part of the problem is I love what we started with, and then it kind of went downhill. And then it kind of came back up. So yeah. it was like we started with this really awesome women's match to kick off. And I was like, all right, I'm in. I'm happy. Let's rock and roll. And then it kind of just like didn't have the flow that we've seen these click into with the more modernized production. And some of that is probably because we're acclimated to the more modernized production because it was stuff they should have been doing for a freaking decade. Right. So it's not like, oh, my gosh, that's so much better. It's like now we're just used to watching that. But I think starting with what I thought might have been the match of the night or certainly one of the best matches and then kind of just like didn't help for me. Didn't help for me. But let's dig in to exactly that. Our Queen of the Ring tournament match here with Bianca Belair and Tiffany Stratton. Sean clearing up what he could of those rumors earlier. He's going to certainly follow up on that. We'll see if Bryan Danielson is here to find Tiffany Stratton. Maybe his powers go
she's
across.
She's fighting
multiple
with a baby in her belly.
That's
what
right,
I'm hearing
Bianca
on the internet.
I said, you know, I can't believe she's fighting when her husband Montez Ford is pregnant, but man, he had some fun with that. If you go to Montez Ford's Instagram, it's like father of seven kids. Angelo Dawkins was like half of the tag team that has a father of 30 kids on it. I was in
stitches. Oh God, that's amazing.
With the fun that they were having there. But I loved this opener. They gave it a lot of time, which was great. Some really fun stuff in here, but it ends with an eye rake from Tiffany and the ref, of course, isn't looking. But after the eye rake, we get a chop block and a sliding clothesline for a near fall. But I love Bianca countering the prettiest moonsault ever with that kiss of death, the KOD for the win. Some good storytelling and some good stuff in here. We get a kayfabe knee injury in this. We get Tiffany locking in that modified Indian deathlock that she does to work it over, which I thought was really nice. Bianca suplexes are always incredible. There were a few kind of sloppier spots, but I appreciated that the things that weren't pretty felt like it was because someone was urgently trying to get a pin. Like there were some things like Tiffany went for a roll up and it didn't look like a good roll up, but it looked like she was trying to win the match. So I can appreciate sloppiness when that is the case. But it was a really, really, really strong opener. If they had heat, it didn't affect them in the match, which I thought was great. Maybe it fueled things in a forward way, but Bianca getting the win here. I know a lot of people thought Tiffany was going to win Queen of the Ring. I thought no, because I feel like she is a surefire Money in the Bank winner. She will be ready for a championship run in the time that it takes her to have that briefcase. And that character walking around with a pink Barbie briefcase screams like, this is the move to me. So I think that's the direction to go. She could obviously win both, but I think you want to spread the wealth in the women's division a little bit here. I think you might see Queen Bianca beating Io Sky in a final. But what were your thoughts on our opening match, and where do you think this Queen of the Ring tournament's going?
I thought the women really nailed it to start off the show. Like I mentioned, there was just a lot of things that I didn't click with. This was definitely something that I love watching the women wrestle. They sometimes outdo the gents on the show. I'll be completely honest with you. I don't know, you know, if there would be any beef. Like, I think in pro wrestling, it's such a ego-driven sometimes business.
No.
You know,
you're saying pro wrestlers have egos? Get out of town and take the bus.
Not a lot of them, you know, maybe all of them. But
all of them.
But they look great in the ring. Let me tell you, I see your vision with Tiff winning the Money in the Bank, right? And right now the Queen of the Ring for me, I'm from the women's side, I have no idea. I'm sure know who in the men's side is gonna go, but from the women's, I'm gonna be like surprised of who's gonna take it, you know. And for me, I honestly thought that perhaps they can run with Liv Morgan again for the briefcase and see where that went, because she, you know, she's been a firecracker as of late. You know, and I feel like maybe that's her way back into it. I'm not sure. Like, my brain was just thinking like that. But Tiffany would also. But is Tiffany ready right now? As young as she is in the game, I wouldn't want to see her get crushed yet. You know.
Yes, I think she isn't ready right now. But I think in the year that you have the briefcase, she could be.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because you have it for a whole year in your pocket.
Well, the women have had it for 24 hours most years, and then we finally got one. So I can understand your confusion, but I feel like her character tormenting people with that briefcase, knocking people out, toodles, like there's a lot that they could do with that. And I feel like I agree with you with Liv, but I don't think she needs it to get back there, because I think the revenge tour is personal enough. I could see Liv beating Becky at SummerSlam and Tiffany eventually cashing in on Liv.
Could yes.
Be a fun direction to go.
Wow, what a way to go into the fall and winter.
Yes, very possibly. That is, the story is Liv and Rhea, though. I don't know how long Rhea's out. That's why this is the only thing that is not in my purview right now. But very, very fun opening match. Might have been my match of the night. So that's when we said that it was kind of like a downer of an episode. I feel like part of it was because.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It started off so hot and then was kind of like, eh. But we get a quick Logan Paul and LA Knight stare down, to which I say, hell yeah, LA Knight is the guy to dethrone Logan Paul. Please give this guy something. He's still getting white hot reactions. But then we move along to this backstage where Jade is heard all about Nia, and Nia is just an obstacle in her way. She says Bianca shows up and they gab for a little bit, and they're kind of talking about you know, we're going to face each other next week, probably. May the best woman win, kind of friendly, but leaving the door open for some dissension thing. Mm-hmm. Honestly, becomes null and void sooner than later. But what did you think of that quick backstage? And also Logan Paul versus LA Knight? I felt like that was the move for months. I thought that's what we were going to get at Mania. Feels like the obvious move to me to have LA Knight be the one to take a mid-card title off Logan Paul. What are your thoughts on both of those things?
I'm still on that train. You know, I got ahead of myself by thinking that maybe they were going to do something with Escobar in the beginning. You know, when they changed regimes, it looked like that's where they were going with that whole thing. And gosh, I was so excited for that. And God, did they kill my hopes. But, you know, seeing things now, and then rewinding to, I remember last year, you and I talking, that was always the move, yeah. Wasn't it? It was always going to be LA Knight heading towards the title for the US title. So I honestly believe that's where they're going to go. How they get to the path there, I don't know. But that, you and I think are in sync with, that's the way that it's going to go down.
Now, this is a contract year for LA Knight. I asked Sean before we went on air, I was like, has there been any movement that you heard of with that contract? And he said, not yet. So stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com for more. Mm-hmm. I would assume if they're going to strap him up with the U.S. title, hopefully conversations have advanced a little bit. But you never want to assume. You want to subscribe to Fightful Select so that everybody knows for sure what the situation is. And I think that's a good thing.
Always.
Well, we get a very weird backstage with Tama Tonga, who sounds like
what
Stitch
was that?
From Lilo and Stitch, Tasmanian Devil. I had people being like, is that all he did in New Japan? And I was like, no, not at all. The dude can talk. It's what Tama Tonga talk and not
I thought Tasmanian there was Devil an song. Audio issue on my TV. And I'm looking at the TV and I'm like, is there an audio problem? Like, are they speeding up the tape? I thought something was happening because it was like a high pitched growl.
It wasn't like
grr. It was like grr. like Gizmo.
It sounded like
in Gremlins.
Gizmo's a good shout. Gizmo's a really good
I'm
shout.
Old people. If you don't know who Gizmo is, well, guess what? Gremlins 3 is coming out this year.
Show. Is it really?
Yeah, they bringing it back.
Hell yeah. That's
and
a fun
not
one.
A reboot. They're actually continuing the story.
I respect that. I like that.
Me too.
I honestly was very distracted by the whole growling thing, but we didn't have Paul Heyman say.
Now, were you good distracted or bad distracted?
I was alarmed distracted. Because I liked Tama Tonga in New Japan, and I literally had messages from no less than 5 people being like, is this a New Japan thing? I was like, no, it's not a New Japan thing. Like, this is not. He was a normal person in New Japan. But Van Twinblade saying he was Beavis. I'll take that. I'll take Beavis. I said Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. Ohana means family. It all kind of fits in, I feel like, very nicely sure. With him. But we do have Heyman asking Solo if he talked to Roman today. And Solo says, all the time, wise man. So interesting dynamics continuing to develop there. Not a ton to say on that. I just like that we got like a tidbit and we're out. Sometimes those Bloodline segments are overly dominating. And there is interference, obviously, in the upcoming match here. But what did you think of this backstage kind of ahead of this match?
I don't want to say this in a bad way, but I'm not feeling like Solo not talking to me is more menacing than Solo talking and trying to explain things. And I understand where he's coming and he's trying to bad. Wise man, come here. You know, like I understand all that, but it's not working for me. I would have liked it better if he just kind of like gave looks, maybe one word answers, has the guys talk for him. You know, like I don't have to talk to you, wise man. Like, why do I even need to waste my time? You know, that's the only thing.
Most people feel like you and I actually feel like the opposite. We saw him not talk for so long that I have liked hearing him talk. I like that he is stepping into the manipulative role that his cousin was in. But from what I saw online, I saw a lot more people who were thinking like you. And some people that were like, I don't buy him as a leader yet. I kind of do. It might be that he needs to get in the ring, to be honest.
Solo, don't take this the wrong way and spike me to death. But
and that was the end of Alex's podcast career. His throat was taken out.
Sometimes he looks a little goofy in the suits that they put him in, and it's not his fault.
No, wardrobe
should do a lot better.
Maybe if Bobby Lashley wasn't hoarding all the good suits.
What a hoard.
Solo Sikoa and myself would have suits. That's all I'm saying, Alex.
No, you're right. Because if you look at Bobby, he's well put together with his suits. And even though, you know, Solo is not the same physique, Solo's a big body dude that'll take you out or kill you just by looking at you, right? He could still get a nice fitted suit, and they're not doing that for him, and that's upsetting me because it kind of doesn't – when that along with the talking sometimes don't mix, and it's not making me feel like confident on buying him as this menacing leader of this new bloodline 3.0 or whatever it is now.
You know what I think about the look, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because there were so many weeks where it was Roman Reigns was like almost in gym clothes, like he didn't need that. So right. I wonder if this for Solo Sikoa is supposed to be something that helps differentiate. But you know who has a really, really cool look in NXT is Obafemi. A lot of times he's just out there in dress slacks and like button down, and it's like very fitted. It looks like he's just very badass. Like there might be a happy medium there. But that might also just be because Obafemi is the coolest guy in the world. If you're not watching him on NXT, what are you doing? Like generational talent.
No. The coolest guy is my best friend, Mr. Mike Rome, who is now the announcer at NXT.
He is. And he has lovely suits too. I'm just saying. He's
sexy, bro.
The Obafemi.
I've watched him get dressed and put those suits on.
Whew, that should be behind a different paywall, but we're going to pull up this chat from Will right now, because this is actually true too. I watched him on NXT, and I know what he's capable of Mike's skills, and maybe it's just me having that lens to watch through, and people just haven't seen enough of him yet, but it is easier for me to buy him as a leader. It is.
I buy in. It's just that as of late with the different ways that they're presenting him, I'm kind of like, all right, like, you know, you don't need to say this. I think that if you just look at someone like you're a menacing dude.
Yeah.
You know,
he is.
He doesn't get punked by anyone. And he hasn't. First of all, he hasn't at all any time that he's been in the ring or outside of it. So I just don't want to see that happen either.
I also think he's someone that might benefit from like a series of squash matches. And I'm not the biggest like squash match gal in the world. I think it can get kind of tired. But him just going out there and beating an enhancement talent in 10 seconds with the Samoan spike just to remind you on occasion as a flex, I think actually would be really helpful in establishing him like as a leader. Because so much of the Bloodline is interference matches just remind you that this guy is lethal and will destroy you.
And after this hot take, I'll probably be taking a long time off if I decide to go to any of the shows and Solo sees me.
That's right. Yeah, no, he's gonna Samoan spike you, and it's gonna be, you're gonna be like, hey man, I'm such a
God. Back to producing. Gone. No more behind the mic.
After that segment, we get LA Knight getting interviewed, and he wants to talk to us, which I love. He says he's ready to introduce Tommy Tonga to the Blunt Force Trauma. Carmelo Hayes interrupting here and talking about his draft pick status and that he went so high overall and Knight didn't. And LA Knight compares himself to Tom Brady and says, doesn't really matter how the draft order goes, which I really, really liked from LA Knight, because why the hell does LA Knight care? That guy doesn't care. He wants to talk shit and he wants to fight. That's what that guy wants to do. Hayes says after his match tonight, the most important letters won't be RKO. They will be HIM for him. And Knight mocks his spelling and throws his catchphrase in and says, now go play somewhere else. I'm busy. I love go play somewhere else. It's such a fun big timer move. He is getting massive reactions still. They have to give this guy the US title because they're going to run out of juice with it. It's really, really, really like, he was white hot and he's still very hot. Capitalize before this guy cools down. But yeah. Fun backstage interview. I love teasing Carmelo and LA Knight. I think that's a good call. What are your thoughts on our LA Knight interview and Carmelo Hayes?
First of all, LA Knight, I mentioned, so I'm not going to repeat it. I think that he is still someone that the people are behind of, and they're waiting for that moment to celebrate with him in the ring, right? And there's only so much longer that that man can go. You're talking about a lot of these dudes that are wrestling right now are in their mid-40s. And, you know, sometimes when you're in this, you know, you're doing a lot of physical stuff out there, you could get hurt. We've seen it happen. And the last thing that we need is someone like LA Knight to, you know, be hurt, because that'll completely just crush any, not that he's going to lose any momentum, but, you know, for us and the fans watching on TV every week, sure, that would be horrible. So I think that they should pull the plug and kind of like, hey, man, we're going with you. You're the guy. You know what I'm saying? A little bit sooner than later. And then when it comes to Carmelo was all over the freaking episode today. Are they like telling me that is he like the next coming? Like, are you pushing, you know, old school, the guard would have pushed him in a different way. So whatever Triple H is doing by sprinkling him in and kind of just like getting in the face of all these wrestlers and stuff is a great thing, because he doesn't feel like he's being pushed on me. I just like the fact that his face was on television all night.
It is a much more intelligent approach, and assuming that the audience is smart enough to know what that means, right? And he's
not going to get an egg, a golden egg.
No, golden egg. No golden egg for Carmelo, thank God. No golden. But some fun stuff there, and I'll just say, out of all the draft talk tonight, if your draft pick is not on the rise, if you're...
Here we go. I always feel she's talking to me.
If you're going a little too quick in the first round, BlueChew.com, code
VIPE. Talk about your mailman. Doesn't need to know your business, doesn't need to know you're looking to have better sex. Fortunately, Blue Chew is here. It arrives in a discreet package. But let's get back to the start. Maybe you want that performance, that edge in bed. Blue Chew has you covered. So, here's the deal. You take their online consultation, and if approved, you get a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis for a fraction of the price. Not just that, no awkward doctor's visits in person, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Prescribed online, shipped straight to your door. But mailman's not going to know what's in that package. But somebody's going to know what your package is bringing. Maybe it is the mailman or mailwoman. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they want you to drop something off by their back door. Well, with Blue Chew, you're going to be able to do that. Use the code FIGHTFUL. BlueChew.com.
Tell you what.
BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL. That was a good segue by me. I got to be honest. I feel like my segue game hasn't been bad, but it hasn't been what it used to be. And I feel like that one was good. I feel like I'm back. I am your tribal chief of segues again. My bangs are locked
your
in.
Your segues are back, baby, because you took Blue Chew.
I'm not really... I shouldn't be taking it.
Wait.
Yeah, no, I don't think me with...
I mean, it is a chewable. So if you're like wanting to just to chew,
I don't need an erection lasting 2 hours, Alex. Okay, my God. But
well, ma'am, don't. Yeah, no. I'm not even gonna touch it. I had something going. It was kicking, and I was like,
you know what? Alex, I'm good. No. I'm good, said Alex. But if you're not good, BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL. And with all the money that you're saving with the code FIGHTFUL for all of our sponsors, we encourage you to throw it back on FIGHTFULSELECT.com. Best $5 in the biz. A lot of stuff going on back there. You get me and Alex Pulowski doing our pay-per-view post shows. He is doing his SmackDown post show right now, where he will be very angry about tonight's episode, as usual. We love grumpy Alex, but you get all sorts of stuff. You get Sean's Q&A. You get bonus podcasts. You get all the best scoops in the game. You can also subscribe on the free tier for sensitive information and for headlines of what is on the paid tier, including any updates on the sex trafficking investigation, injuries, releases, things like that, that Sean doesn't feel comfortable paywalling, goes on the free tier. So you can check that out there. We do get this from Will, which I appreciate, which is, I do love how the fans troll Solo with "We want Roman chants." Yes, that has been very consistent. And what I love about that is that guy's going to come back as a monster baby face. My and I dude. Can't wait. I'm so excited for that.
When his music, you know, he has that choir in the beginning of the song. Doom. You know, when that boom and the ha begins, bro.
Hell yeah. Tom LaValle saying LA Knight has the shoes of a champion. Yeah. I didn't check out his kicks. Were they our friends at GOI Kicks, maybe? Let us know in the chat.
Is he wearing the Jordans made by Roman?
Oh, maybe. Maybe I didn't notice. I didn't notice the shoe game. That's on me.
I don't have a shoe game, my friends. I wear sandals and Crocs.
I don't either, but my co-host on Wednesday nights at the Mark Order podcast has a shoe closet that would put Carrie Bradshaw's shame on Sex and the City. He has an incredible shoe game, and he sent us a picture of his closet, and I'm like, that's bigger than my office. Like, what are we doing? That's incredible. But we move into our match of LA Knight versus Tama Tonga. Of course, with the bloodline at ringside, this was kind of inevitable. I would have loved to see LA Knight advance, but I think we're getting to a finals of Randy Orton versus Gunther, which I love that pairing. I think there's a lot of productive things that can come out of that. But we get Knight setting up for the blunt force trauma and Tonga Loa pulling out Tama Tonga. I can't do it. What's wrong with me? Tonga Loa pulling out Tama Tonga is gonna ruin my life. I am dyslexic. This is impossible for me to read. I'm so sorry. But you get Knight hitting him with a diving drop kick. Solo and Knight kind of squaring off for a second here, and Knight saying, "Hit me, why don't you?" But Solo does not, and back in the ring, Tonga hits his flatliner to win. So this is what you're looking at. It's either Jey Uso and Tama Tonga, which I don't love from the perspective of, I think you can get to that story without this tournament. And I am not in on the idea of King Yeet. I'm just not. I'm sorry. The Yeet stuff is one dimensional. It's not for me. I think Jey is a great storyteller. I think they've taken a lot of that storytelling away from him. And right now he doesn't feel like main event Jey Uso to me as far as in ring, because I think he's great at the storytelling aspect. I think when there's not a really good story, it just kind of is flat. The entrance is super over. Cool. But like, I look for more in pro wrestling than fun entrances. So that's gotten me in a lot of trouble before. It has. But I know that I like wrestling on my wrestling program. Oh, God. The other side of that is Gunther versus Randy Orton, which I also think plays very well in Saudi Arabia, because Randy Orton is in that legend tier. King Gunther, I think you could have a lot of fun with. I think you could see King Gunther dethrone Cody, maybe. Possibly. I think there's a lot of fun possibilities where that can go. So I also just feel like if you're going to do bloodline stuff, you don't need this tournament to get there. But what are your thoughts on this match, and where do you see King of the Ring going?
I'm glad you brought that up, because I 100% feel like they're going to be giving Gunther his flowers and scepter and cape and crown, you know? So I think that's what, I mean, you got to elevate the guy. You got to continue pushing him forward. I think that being Intercontinental Champion for so long was really great, but I think you got to continue giving him more and more to do. People want it, and I think this is the right way to go. I don't know if the King of the Ring this year might have some type of you know, future implications, where maybe he gets, you know, to move into a title reign picture or something like that, or whatever, you know, they could put him in. But I hope they do. The match was good. I this is one of the matches that I was like, okay, cool. Like, unfortunately, it was with Knight in it, but I was just like,
Is bloodline stuff can be lather, rinse, repeat sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Rather, it just rinse, it is. Repeat. We knew what was coming this whole time. So I'm with you on that. And I agree with what you said about Gunther. Someone, when we were doing one of our shows behind the paywall, Alex and I, did the math, and Gunther has been a champion for 80% of his time in WWE. 80%. And not a minute of it has felt out of place, in my opinion. I watched
it. Hasn't.
It's crazy. It's crazy how successful that guy is. And it feels like they know what they have with him. So that's really, really cool to me. And I hope we see that trend continue.
And he feels to me like someone, like, you know, we watch these older wrestlers come back and we give them their flowers at the, you know, Hall of Fame. And, you know, like, we kind of tell their stories are being told and whatnot. Like, you know, he feels like he's going to be that person when it's all said and done, where we're going to think back, God, you remember his Intercontinental Championship run. He could have multiple because he's not even old. So he can have multiple Intercontinental Championship runs. He can go and have any type of run. And we will be talking about him as this great freaking wrestler, man. Because he was killing people down in NXT and everywhere else that he was at. And when he came to the roster, they did not do him dirty, man. And he was in the old regime. The old regime would have, you know, made him into something weird. But I mean, the music, the pop, everything just was perfect. And it still is.
It really is. It's really special too, because even though he's a heel, it's not like his minions are always interfering or he's cheating all the time. He's just a really great wrestler.
Yeah.
I see what they're doing with Obafemi in NXT, and I think it's going to translate similarly. Like, he's just a champion who's here to kick your ass, and he works heel because he's working against faces. But, like, those are...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Such valuable people, because it's not overly gimmicky. It's just the mat is sacred. I'm here to kick your ass. Boom. All day with that. But after this match, we get LA Knight complaining in the back about the fairness of his match, and Carmelo Hayes shows up again here. They get into a bit of a shoving match and some chit chat before being separated. So feels like we might get LA Knight becoming your US champion. And then you might get Carmelo Hayes being the first challenger for that. I hope that's where we're going with it. I like that a lot. That's a fun first event for LA Knight. If it happens in a different order, you have to get some wins for LA Knight going into that title match, like if they wait for SummerSlam. But a productive loss would be to put Carmelo over in that situation. So I think it's good that they're teasing this. Carmelo's great on the mic and in the ring. LA Knight is great on the mic and serviceable in the ring. I would say very good in the ring when you see like what we got out of him and AJ at WrestleMania. But I think they do it in such different ways that could be super compelling. So I was excited to see this pop back up later in the show. Were you?
Yeah. You know, I like the way you put that with Carmelo Hayes being maybe his first real opponent, because Carmelo, today he had a couple heel tendencies as he was talking to different wrestlers as he was walking around in the back.
His attitude
was 100% like leaning towards that heel side. And I think that that's where they need to, that's his bread and butter. I think that's where they need to go. Because if LA Knight does take this and we move forward, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be like a WrestleMania moment for Carmelo, but it would be a great one. I mean, you give the belt to LA Knight. He has it for like, what, 5 months or so? You know what I'm saying? Probably. A little bit over that. Because, you know, what WrestleMania next year is not till what, the end of April? So, yeah. You know, you'll have a healthy run. And at that point, you can, you know, we're going to have the draft again. You can move him around. You can put him in a different place. He can go after another title. So, yeah.
Agreed. Will saying, still feels weird to see WWE talent say in interviews saying Vince didn't know what he was doing. It got really ugly at the end. And I think there was such back and forth. Like, it was like Triple H took over because Vince was gone. Vince came back. And then Triple H took over again. So the creative direction would just keep flipping switches. And I don't think that's great. Reminder of the chat, we're going to try not to speculate on any injuries until Sean gets confirmation on stuff. If Athena is injured, we hope and wish for the best for her. That would be extremely disappointing and frustrating for ROH fans. We just would wish her the best, the absolute best healing. Sean's going to work to find out more, but let's not speculate on stuff. I will say it did look like something went wrong on a rope spot from what I was watching last night. Yeah. But we will wait to find out from Sean. Well, we're going to move into our contract signing. But before we do that, I got to say, we got a lot of pay-per-views coming up, Alex.
We do.
Money in the Bank. We've got Double or Nothing. We've got all this stuff coming up. And it's pricey. It gets expensive. We're waiting on this deal with Max to go through for AEW.
Mm-hmm.
ROH is having pay-per-views. That's included in Honor Club. But my goodness, digging deep into our pockets here. And if I could just go to a different country where maybe things are a little bit cheaper. Well, darn it, NordVPN would be who I would trust to get me there.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
I got Nord. It's on right now.
That's I'm what's protected. Up.
I am protected by Nord.
You must be. You must be protected by Nord, I say. It's the best VPN in the game. They give you a huge savings discount with the code Fightful, too.
Yeah,
it's not
do.
Just like, here's 5% off to cover shipping of whatever, like some products can do. They give you a really, really hefty discount. And the more you invest in them, the bigger percentage you get off. So legitimately, such a fantastic service and a big, big, big supporter of us here at Fightful. So check them out. Let them know you found out about them through us. They're the best. We love our Nord friends. We love them. Man, I'll tell you what I didn't love, and that was this contract signing. There was some good in it. There was some bad in it. Mostly, I just feel like it went on way too long. I feel that way probably about 70% of contract signings. There was some really medium insults in here. And I gotta say, I called this last week. They did not officially say it was title for title last week, and I was like, that sneaky Logan Paul is going to be up to something. I just know it. He's going to come here with his own contract, or he's going to goat Cody into this match and not put his title on the line. I thought it was going to be dumb babyface syndrome where he signs it without reading it. I'm glad that they didn't do that. At least Cody knew what he was signing up for, because that gets very old. Like, that is a very boring trope to me. This took up a lot of time on the show that I felt like was superfluous. I also, there was some good stuff that was said, and we're going to get into it. But the thing is, we just had a Cody contract signing like 2 weeks ago, because we were going into the last pay-per-view with AJ. And the week before the contract signing, there was a face-to-face with AJ. So it's just been a little bit of a victim of the fact that they have a pay-per-view every month, and we're doing these contract signings so frequently, I think. But some good stuff happened in here. Before we dig into what was said, kind of just overall thoughts and vibe on what we got out of this.
Was there a mention about a certain dad during this promo? Because Jesus Christ. I mean, okay. Definitely went on a little too long. I think they could have cut all the fat, you know, and just kind of give him his massive pop, let him do his one-liner. Let's get this going. He's not going to freaking lose the title, people.
I know it is. It is a little bit of a victim of inevitability. And it's also just hard because there wasn't a ton of heat on him and AJ. That match showed out. There's not a ton of heat here, but I'm sure this match is going to show out. So it's just tough because I feel like Cody's working really hard to create really compelling stories, but there's just no time to build them because of the schedule that we have here. But let's dive into what was said. They are in Jacksonville tonight, and it made me very happy that Cody is still extremely over in Jacksonville. That genuinely warmed my heart, but he kind of digs at Logan Paul and asks him about wrestling history and says, do you even know what happened 32 years ago here? It references the Stinger Squadron versus Dangerous Alliance Wool Games of 1992. Widely considered the best war games, but I think New Japan might have given them a run for their money this year. But he says that he's an actual fan of wrestling and that Logan Paul is a tourist here to make viral memories, which that I really, really liked. Mm-hmm. But he tells Logan to get off the train and that Cody's going to become a Grand Slam champion. Logan says he's heard all this before, which I appreciated, because everybody else has brought up that, like, you're just a YouTube star, whatever thing. So good of him to say that. And he says that he doesn't care. He's here to sign the contract, which I also like. Signing a contract at a contract signing should be the focus. But you see, he says, you see, Logan has his own contract and he doesn't want to put the U.S. title on the line in it. Which brings out Nick Aldis, which I also liked to come out here and facilitate. And Cody's like, I got this. I like that Nick Aldis took exception with it. I thought that was a really logical thing to have your GM step in and say, these aren't the terms that we agree to. But Logan asks what Cody has done to earn a U.S. title shot. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I would like you to put the U.S. title on the line against someone else, actually, myself. But Cody says that the honeymoon is over and he's seen Logan do a flip and he doesn't care. And my little Tekker heart just was racing through my chest. It was like the Grinch. It grew three sizes that day because I love logical in-ring so much and I appreciate the athleticism, but it's not always logical. Mm-hmm. That made me very happy. Cody ultimately ends up signing the contract, ducks a cheap shot and a clothesline from Logan here. And Cody lays out some of the squad that always comes out with him and powerbombs one of them through a table. And Cody poses with both belts and tosses Logan's belt back at him. The good of this to me is that Cody's like, whatever. You don't want to put your title on the line. I'm still going to fight you. He's a champion. He's still... you know, feeling strong against Logan, which he should, because Logan doesn't have a ton of wins, honestly. And he lost his last title shot in Saudi Arabia. So I like that Cody's like, fine, you want to play your little childish mind games, whatever. I'm signing the contract. I don't love the route that we got to get here because I felt like it made last week very confusing and muddy. And this doesn't feel like a mind game, what I said earlier before, I still find true of it's better than Cody blindly signing a contract that got switched on him. Like, I hate when baby faces are dumb. So I appreciate that Cody's not an idiot and can read a contract that he's going to sign. Just not a lot that you can do with 2 weeks to build. But yeah, that's kind of all I got for that. It was very long, but this is what we're getting.
I know. They have to, I guess, draw shit out. Excuse my language, but you know.
It's I'm ready for Cody to be in a feud that has some heat on it.
Yes, please. And make it long and let them fight and don't bring up any dads or don't bring up any history of like what match. Just have a good old barn burner, you know, like that's what I want to see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm ready for like Cody to
get corny sometimes. It really does. Like, I'm already like feeling like I'm a four-year-old watching someone having to teach me things when I watch certain programming. So like, I just want to see fighting and blood and, you know, cursing at each other and like just go at it. Just go
fight 'em ups. Alex is ready for the fight 'em ups. I'm with you.
Seriously, man. I'm not trying to be mean, but just that's what I want to see. Come on, Cody.
I think that's a direct personal attack on Cody. That's what I think it is. Wonderful Roomba. Excellent Rosie from the Jetsons. Bad Robot saying, hi, favorite post show. Well, hello to you. Happy belated best in the bangs in the biz. Thank you very much for the birthday wishes. I love Bianca, but I hope we get Nia versus Io or Lyra. I'm thinking it's going to be Jay and Tama for the men's. What would you like to see? Well, I think we're going to get Bianca and Io. That's what I think we're going to get. I don't need to see that yet again. I think it would be Nia and Lyra if they're going to go in that direction. Because just for the heel faceness of it all, mm-hmm. I think that's probably the way you go. I feel like right now it's probably Bianca's to win. And maybe down the line that gives Jade something to be pissed off about when they eventually do split, because it's women's tag wrestling. So that's
sure.
going. There's no way that's not going to happen. Men's, it's got to be Orton Gunther, because I don't need the bloodline dominating yet another piece of important programming. What do you want to see out of the women's side? Would you rather see Nia and Lyra or Io and Bianca?
Yeah, Io and Bianca. I think, you know, they have the history. You know what I'm saying? It's already, we've known this history for a while. So Nia, for me, still hasn't really clicked, you know? I don't know what she's just coming in and just wanting to mess people up, which I'm cool with, man. I love her
doing that. I was going to say, that feels right up your alley, honestly. Yeah,
don't get me wrong. But, you know, outside of that, like, when this tournament means a lot to the people that are in it, not just, you know, these people that are just going to be breaking people's backs through it. You know what I'm saying? So I think that the right way to go, it will be Io and Bianca.
I agree with you in that it feels like it was more about her match with Jade than Queen of the Ring. But I think it's also tricky because she just switched brands.
Yes.
And she took so many high value losses, but still losses on the Raw brand that she kind of needs to reestablish herself here. So she's just in kind of a tough place with that. But I can understand what you're saying. In ring wise, this is the most I've liked Nia ever. Like, she's doing way more cool, like, power submission stuff. Yeah. It's definitely very refreshing.
And to go back to, on my thought about, I'm still confused. I don't know who would take it in the women's side, because it's an open field for me right now, you know?
Unpredictable is generally...
I love unpredictability. Yeah. That's my favorite type of wrestling. As a matter of fact, that's what we should have a wrestling federation called, unpredictability. That's a hard word. I don't even know how I said that. I'm Latino, man. I mess things up. So I'm proud of myself on that one.
I'm not Latino and I mess things up just because I can't speak English, but it's fine. We get Nia Jax kind of just dismissing Jade, saying, is she a star? Yes. Is she super strong and incredible? Yes. Is she your next Queen of the Ring? Nope. But that brings us to our match, and this was the dumbest S ever. This made me so mad. This match was 2 minutes and 12 seconds. There's a cool spot where Nia pushes Jade in front of her daughter and they brawl. Yeah. But then Nia gets a chair and she blocks Jade and hits and Jade hits Nia with it and causes a DQ. And so Nia wins. And I just, hate everything about that. I feel like it
that
made...
whole thing felt weird at the end there. It I was also... not expecting it.
So unfortunately, the spot wasn't very well executed either. So it was a really dumb finish, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it was poorly executed, so it didn't click in the way that we wanted. But it could have been the most perfect chair shot I've ever seen in my life, and I still would think this is really bad booking. It makes Jade look dumb. It makes it kind of makes her look weak in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I did not like this. I don't like that it was 2 minutes and 12 seconds. I don't like that you can have these types of DQs in tournaments. I'd like, just give me clean matches. But it just makes Jade look so stupid for not being able to not cause a disqualification for herself. I hated that they did that to both of these women who are smart and strong and capable.
Yeah.
That they... And this also doesn't feel like Naya. She's not like, haha, gotcha type heel. She's just in there to, like you said, she's in there to break you. Like, she doesn't need
break me, Naya.
These things. I guess maybe they're trying to say that, like, when somebody as strong as Jade faces Naya, she does need these cop-outs. But, like, I've seen her use power submissions. I've seen her face Rhea Ripley, who's not exactly a weakling over here, right? So,
yeah.
I hated this. Unfortunately, I feel like it didn't do anything for either performer in the situation. I don't like this kind of stuff in tournaments, especially a tournament that's basically just prestige. But this was a bit of a mess. The crowd is chanting bullshit after Jay spears Naya into the ring post, which was kind of cool. And Naya doesn't really sell it all that much, which is unfortunate. But this whole thing just was messy to me. I have a very strong opinion on it. Do you?
You know, the whole end of that match to me was just messed up. Like, I don't know if it made them feel dumb. Like, why would you hit them? Like, it made no sense. Like, I wish they would have gone a different route on how to find, like, it felt like they rushed that. Like, that was something they thought up last minute and said, all right, this is the way we're going to just end this because, you know, we don't have any time for you. Like,
It does. And I don't understand. I don't understand. I'll just put it that way.
I'm not a writer for wrestling.
If you can do anything in the world, why you would do that, I don't know. But I mean, could not be more perfectly timed. It's Alex Pulowski showing up for his sour hour, which I feel like is going to be a sour hour more likely. But Alex, we were just talking about Jade and Naya, so your timing is great. I do want to remind you that it is 11:15 East Coast time, and I would prefer to be in bed by like 4. So...
She said 4.
So if you could limit it to a good like 3 hours of sour for this episode.
I just want to know why we have to avoid catastrophe by doing the dumbest stuff possible. You know, like, I mean, this is what this is the analogy I used. WWE is careening toward absolute disaster. They are driving a car with no brakes 100 miles an hour towards a brick wall that they built. They put it there and then they drove the car towards it. And they don't get credit from me for swerving at the last possible second to avoid the brick wall and careening into a ditch. That's not it's a better option than the brick wall, but it's like at what cost? Like, I mean, Jade failed to stop the chair shot from Naya, and so it technically hit Jade in the head. Shouldn't Naya be DQ'd? It's against the script. So, like, this is what we have to do. This the way we avoid Jade Cargill versus Bianca Belair, a match we all agree is too soon. Please don't do that now. None of us want this. The way we avoid that is have Jade lose her mind. She goes from 0 to I have to hit this woman with a chair in 2 minutes for no reason to disqualify myself in one of the biggest matches I've ever had, because it would lead to me being the inaugural queen of the ring, but I don't think about any of that because I'm dumb. LA Knight is dumb because he's got Tama Tonga on the ropes. He goes outside and he starts to like I don't know, engage in a debate with a guy standing there not doing nothing on the at ringside, rolls into the ring and walks into a finisher. So LA Knight gets to get dumb. Carmelo Hayes, you were 8 years old when Randy Orton made his debut on the main roster. Like, have you never seen a Randy Orton match, Carmelo Hayes? What are you doing? Springboarding headfirst towards Randy Orton. That's a guaranteed loss in the match. Have you never seen it? Everyone is booked to look dumb. Why are we making people look dumb?
I adore you, first of all. Second of all, this does feel like a very unproductive way to have Jade have her first loss to.
I mean,
like,
come
that
on.
Is.
They're not going to count it, by the way, because it's a DQ thing. DQ, so they're going to say she never actually got pinned or whatever. And she didn't. But also, have some stones. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have to book this thing. You didn't have to do this. You controlled the brackets. And then once you set the brackets, you dictated who won all the matches. So you don't have to be like, oh, crap, we booked ourselves into a corner. Yeah, but you did that on purpose in the way you got. I don't, like.
We broke Alex this episode.
Like this, yeah, to say nothing of Cody Rhodes spending all week being like, I'm going to be a double champ. Do, 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 do. Like, he's so happy about it. And he gets to the contract signing. And Logan Paul's like, yeah, we're not doing that. I brought my lawyer. I also brought a broccoli-haired entourage, which I like that line from Nick Aldis a great deal. I also brought a broccoli-haired entourage and my own lawyer, who is an actor we paid to be here. I'm ripping up a contract, a WWE certified contract by the general manager of SmackDown. I'm going to rip that up on TV, bring out my own contract that I'm going to sign, and expect that's legal and binding. And Nick Aldis doesn't immediately suspend and find him. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, okay, you're done. I'm done with you. He was going to, but then White Knight Cody's going to be like, you know what? We all agree you're doing a great job here as GM of SmackDown. Why don't you go back to your office? I'll meet you later. I'm going to deal with this. Listen here, you fly-by-night hat rack. Like, he, like, the spirit, the ghost of Cary Grant inhabited Cody. No one has said the words fly-by-night hat rack together since 1942. Like, what are we doing?
1942!
I mean, honestly, I don't know what we're doing. This, that was simultaneously the very best and most cringy thing that Cody has ever said. I loved it, and also, what? Listen here! Listen up, you fly-by-night hat rack! Like, what?
He's a human hat rack, which reminded me of Joey on Friends going, not just a hat rack, my friend, but T Delgado sending in money for Alex's rant and Kate's amazing bang. Subscribe to Fightful Select if you are in the go off Alexa camp, which I appreciate. But I, Alex, Tony Storm cooking. Yeah. I will say, I don't want double champ Cody. I am excited about LA Knight Logan Paul being the likely program. And I like that Cody was like, all right, kid, whatever. We'll have my title match. I'm still going to beat you because he's got a butt. Yeah, that was.
Logan Paul out there being like, you haven't done anything to deserve a shot at my title. What have you done to deserve a shot at his title? Cody Rhodes is like, listen, I'm not having a match with you, kid, unless you put the title on the line. And Nick Aldis agrees with me. So Nick Aldis, you're going to find me another person for my title match unless you put the title on the line. They could have solved all of this, by the way, by just having the title match as presented by Nick Aldis last week be for one title.
One title, yeah.
There've been a bunch of times where I've watched a lesser champion fight a higher champion just for the higher champion's title without the lower title on the line.
Sure.
And it was stated at the beginning that's what the match was. They didn't do a whole week of like the top guy in the company who just beat the champ who was there for 4 years as the champion being like, I'm going to win the US title, all over Twitter for a week. He was so excited about it. Double champ Cody. Like, and then it looks like he's just this dumb dummy who agrees to a match that he gets nothing out of.
Well, I think he's putting Logan in his place. And I think their intention was for us to think that Logan was so clever But you can't make him look maximum clever without making Cody look really dumb, which is to have Cody not have read the contract and he signs it anyway. But to this chat, I say subscribe to FightfulSelect.com because we make Alex book things all the time that he doesn't like and make them better. But you got to pay for that. You got to pay for that one. Mm-hmm. But we appreciate it so much.
I think that's Fowler. Is that Fowler?
That's, I think, beyond Fowler at this point.
It's more than Fowler?
I think it's at least Fiverr.
Okay.
Maybe six Fowler.
It might be a Sour Fowler teen, actually.
Sour Fowler teen. I love it. The crowd did chant
the crowd did chant.
Alex tweeted, I agree with what the crowd is chanting, which is like an all-timer
which was
tweet.
It was just, boop, boop, boop.
Boop.
Yeah, because that's Fox for you, so...
Hey, you know what's not BS is Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Copeland, and you can check me and Alex reviewing Collision tomorrow and a Rampage watch along because we get weird blocks of time when AEW is competing with the playoffs of various sports. So join us on FightfulSelect.com for your Collision alternative review. There is a review here on the main with Iridian and Cresta and Riccuccino. But if you like our little sour flavor, if you like me and Alex being extremely silly and sometimes playing video games, join us on FightfulSelect.com. Alex, thank you for so much for your rants.
You're welcome. Good night, you fly-by-night hat racks.
Good night, sir. I don't have anything fun and old-timey, but my God. Classic stuff. Classic Alex right there. But we're going to continue on. Get in your super chats and your humper chats as we're starting to come down the main stretch here. Appreciate all the support we've gotten from you guys tonight. And we swing into our tag team match that I thought was a whole heck of a lot of fun. Not a lot of stakes here, more of just like an in-service of the show match. But you've got A-Town Down Under on commentary, your current tag champs. And you've got DIY versus Legado. You have Angel and Umberto in there today with Santos and Electra Lopez on ringside. The end of this is Escobar distracting the ref and allowing Electra Lopez to crotch shot Johnny Gargano on the top rope. Santos and Lopez get ejected, and then Umberto eats the meet me in the middle for the loss for them, the win for DIY. This was good-ish, and I'll explain. I think DIY is great, and I think they should win the tag titles from A-Town Down Under, and I think they should be getting wins like this. I also thought Angel looked great in this. He always does. Umberto's great, too, but like Angel really shows out when he shows out sometimes. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and I said this on Tuesday, WWE could get better at making factions feel more important on the whole rather than guy and some lackeys. And everybody's got pin eaters, right? Like, I get that, but don't get mad, Internet, because I'm going to make a comparison to AEW.
Oh, boy, but here like, we go. You AEW show. Tony Khan.
House of Black.
Cash checking.
Everyone, I wish I was cashing them. Cry about it. But everyone in House of Black kind of feels like they have a role and feels important. I guess Buddy eats pins, but like Brody has an identity and gets some wins. Everyone in Blackpool Combat Club, same thing. I think that's something that is a strength of AEW that WWE could get better at is right now it kind of feels like Santos and lackeys, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's true in a lot of stables and Imperium. It was Gunther and lackeys. So I would love to see them do a little bit stronger of a job of making everybody in the factions feel important. It's tough, but it just kind of feels like I love factions, but having one standout guy in some other people isn't the maximum potential that you can use guys at, in my opinion, and gals when we have female factions. That's actually a great example. Everybody in Damage Control feels cool and important, right? Kyrie's like a little bit more of a supplemental role, but like Asuka feels different. Io feels different. Like Dakota Kai has come into her own in this role. So I would like to see more of that. I would like to see more of that.
I already told you how I felt in the beginning about this specific match. I don't like the way that they've been using them. I mean, the factions, I know that Triple H is a big faction guy and the
what gives
era
you that
he,
impression?
I don't know. I've seen one or two YouTube videos. And you know, coming from a guy who was in probably the best factions ever. You know what I'm saying? Someone who came from different, from an era where there was factions every week coming up. And they were treated as such with greatness. And like they were full of great people in it. Hall of Famers, you know? It's just they just feel blah. And I feel blah with Legado de Fantasma. Like, what is happening? What are we doing with my boys and you know, and Elektra? Like, what was it? What's happening here? You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't seen anything good push-wise, nothing. And, you know, the tag teams, you know, they've kind of been lacking, bros. You know, like, I feel sorry for Humberto and Angel. Like,
yeah,
what are we doing? You know what I'm saying? Great job for DIY. I think that you're right. They will be going forward and doing their business, which is great because even they don't feel important in this match.
They need to start getting wins like this. Oh, and I God, think yeah. We've got a Cleveland pay-per-view coming up this summer, right? So giving Johnny Gargano a win there, I think, would be a special and beyond deserved moment.
Yeah.
I kind of wish Pulowski was still here because I'm not a huge creepy lore person. And I'm definitely not someone who's going to chase it around. But commentary does acknowledge there's been QR codes and weird things happening on Twitch. I am very old. And I do not spend a lot of time on Twitch except for when Mansoor and Mason have their streams. I try to join that whenever I can. But this is just not my wheelhouse of fandom all that much.
Right.
It is Alex Pulowski, so I kind of wish he was here, but I think he's over it and wants it to be revealed, which is kind of also where I'm at. Like, I'm intrigued to see what happens when the Wyatt Six shows up, presuming that's what this is, but like I don't want to get my phone out and scan things anymore.
Sure. I told you when this was happening, you know, last time with the QR codes, was very specific with you. I was like, all right, give me one, give me two. Don't continue this every week. It's unbecoming. I am here to be entertained, to get away from everything and just watch my wrestling and watch my sweaty men beat each other. You know, like, come on now. Now you're making me take out a phone and have to figure things out. I don't want to. I want to be vegetated. And I feel this is, again, like, it's cool. You're trying to replicate something that was really, really fun to do, right? I understand that's what the Gen Zers are doing, you know, taking out their daggone phones and taking pictures of the big old screen.
We're old. We're an old
person. I'm an old person. Okay, give me a newspaper with a QR code.
I will say with Bray, the payoff was so incredible when he returned. Like what we got out of that. So the bar is very, 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 very high.
So
and I hope that it pays off. It does feel like it's happening soon, so that makes me happy. I hope it happens sooner rather than later, but it does feel like, see, like Kim Gray is saying, my kid is obsessed with these QR codes. I'm just old. Like,
yeah, I understand. That's what the kids want to play with. They're on their phone already. You think anyone that goes to these events, you look at the crowd, 90% of them are on their phones.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of people like capturing stuff or whatever.
Yeah. Or tweeting or watching. They're at the event watching YouTube videos. You know, so it's just like, whatever.
Will saying, I love how Melo feels like a young MVP. I don't hate that comparison. I will say, I think it's a little bit more character-based and a little less gimmick-based than MVP. Mm-hmm. And not that MVP was so gimmicky, but it's just a little bit more subtle with Carmelo and a little bit, dare I say, kind of cooler. Much cooler. So we'll take it. We'll take it. Guys, last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats as we are coming down the home stretch here.
Yeah.
We get an AJ Styles promo where he says he had a great match with Cody and nearly won, but couldn't. He had a shot at King in the ring. And he lost that in the first round, and he's going to talk to Nick Aldis and see where he goes. Perfect. Clean, simple.
That's it. Moving forward.
Love that. Like, hey, I am acknowledging what has happened to me, and I will update you when I know what's next for me.
Beautiful. There you go.
Amen. Perfect. And now we have your King of the Ring match of Randy Orton versus Carmelo Hayes, and Randy wins a very fun match with an RKO. Not a surprise there. And post-match reminds everyone who he is, and I laughed out loud when he said, "I'm Randy freaking Orton." I was like, is there a freaking quota that when Seth Rollins is out, Randy has to pick up the freaking... But what it is very talented people on the mic wanting to say the F word and correcting themselves, I think, in real time and not saying curse words in front of a young audience. So good for them, because I would not have that control. But this was a really, really fun match. I like that Carmella was being put in these big spots. I like that he's shining in those big spots. Alex complained about the springboard into the RKO, which I get, but he's young on the roster. So I feel like him being a little bit too green and not being ahead of what could happen isn't that bad. And it also just,
you're in the heat of battle. You're trying to beat this giant of a man that you just want to like put down, and you just can't. And so you're going to try everything in your arsenal. Sometimes you hit it. Sometimes it hits you.
That is true. And it also just made for a really fun RKO. So I'll take the springboard into the RKO spot. Yeah. But Randy Orton advancing, reminding you who he is, which I really, really liked. Like, I think he has come back to a warm reception. And I feel like everyone was like, man, if Cena wasn't there at the same time, the career Randy Orton would have had. And now he's here to remind you he's had a great career. It's awesome. And he's going to continue to put on great matches all the time. I was perfectly fine with this main event. This did make me feel like, okay, we probably are getting Randy Orton and Gunther, because I don't think you have Randy go out there and remind you who he is to then have him lose to Tama Tonga and his grunting, unless the grunting is very distracting from Arkeel. But I really hope that's the finals we get. It feels like maybe we're leaning that way. Your thoughts on our main event here and how we closed out the show tonight?
It was all right. You know, it was a typical Randy Orton match. You know, Carmelo's getting some good TV time. I'm okay with it. It wasn't anything to say, oh my God, what a great match that was. No, to me, it was just more cool wrestling. Feed me more wrestling. I don't mind it. You know what I'm saying? I had nothing to call my mom and tell her I just watched the Randy Orton match. Let me tell you about it. Let's grab some coffee and a sourdough bread. You know, like,
you grabbed coffee. It's so late, Alex.
Dude, I'm Puerto Rican. I drink coffee to go to sleep. All right. I'm telling you guys right after I leave here, I will be going to make a pot of Bustelo.
You are crazy, I say.
Yeah. I shouldn't be for reasons that you know, but
so there's a thing with people with ADHD where they need caffeine to like wake up their brains, but they also get tired really quickly after. And I am one of those where I'm like, gotcha, sick. I am in the mode to get some work done now. The caffeine is hitting, whatever. And then I'm like, I need to take a nap immediately. I'm so glad I know that
because I thought when we went out for coffee that day, I was just being boring. But yeah, it was, you were falling asleep on the chair. She said, don't you have to go and like edit some podcasts?
Fun fact, Alex and I met in person. And I was like, Sean, this guy's great. Like, I think next time you're out, I would like to have Alex come on as a sub. And I think it would be fun. Like, I think it would be great. I did not know Sean was like, oh, Alex is so good, I'm just going to peace out for the rest of my life. But thank God.
We met a long time ago. Back in 94.
Not quite. But we are old enough that that could be a possibility.
That's true, yeah.
So the chat decided this week it was my 24th birthday, and I very much appreciate that. And it is definitely not a 13-year difference from that. So
no.
That was our episode of SmackDown. We've got a lot coming up. We've got Double or Nothing around the corner. We've got that's going to be a huge pay-per-view, I think, for AEW. I'm looking forward to that.
Big there pay-per-view. Is
the King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia coming up next week as well. Some really, 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 really good stuff. We got a chat from Second Lieutenant Colonel Voto. We thank you for your service. Alexis, I'm having espresso right now. Go to bed, you crazy people.
Let me tell you something. We have all in, all out, all around. Everything is happening. This summer is going to be insane. Make sure you have your NordVPNs on so you can save some dough and buy me a cup of coffee.
That's right.
You know,
Allie said I'm joining as it's over. I know. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Allie. I miss you, Allie. Where you go? Come back. what was I going to say to you? Yeah. SmackDown was all right.
It was exactly that. It was all right. Yeah. But we've got the go-homes next week. So we will see you here for that on Friday as well as big pay-per-view weekend.
We're going to Saudi.
Well, we're you and I aren't, but we'll be.
Pay-per-view
will be there.
Wait, Sean, never mind.
We will have, oh, Meet Normus jumping in saying, sup, partners? Meet forever, veggies. Sometimes. You're a sweetheart. You're a sweetheart. I feel like we're getting chants now as we're winding down. So I'm like, should we just stall and see if more people send us money? Yeah, but we won't.
Send me your money.
We'll get the heck out of here. But have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. So much stuff. Stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com. We are out of here.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week. Now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.